Attention listeners, mark your calendars for Colorado Gives Day on December 10th. Support AfterSight and give to the causes you care about. Go to coloradogivesday.org/organizations/AfterSight between now and December 10th to make your donation.
Welcome to Blind Level Tech. This isn't just accessible tech talk. This is technology on a whole new level. We're showing you just how possible it is to live the life you want.
And we're back with part two of the operating system deep dive. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Blind Level Tech. I'm your host, Evan Starnes, joined by my co-host, Kelvin Crosby.
Hey, so good to see you, even though I can't see you. It's another beautiful day in the neighborhood, Evan. How you doing, man?
I am doing, honestly, I'm really refreshed.
Refreshed?
I got back, yeah, like I F5'd myself, you know? Computer joke. Da-dunch. We have that sound somewhere. Actually, it is. I just didn't queue it up. But I just got back from my first EV road trip with a good road trip buddy of mine from Utah. And we got to explore quite a lot of stuff, including Bryce Canyon. And, you know, it was a whole lot of fun. But you will be able to hike with this hippopotamus on our Audio Trekkers hike up in Myers Gulch, and well, actually up in Walker's Ranch, at the Myers Gulch trailhead, because our Audio Trekkers hike is this week, I think. Oh my gosh, I don't have a calendar in front of me, but it's like literally the countdown is almost elapsed. You know, it's almost happening. And
hip 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 hippopotamus on the trails with me. We're gonna hip and hike the mountain together, everybody. We're gonna hip our way around.
I don't even have a response to that.
Come on, you're the horse. You should be going brr, brr. We're gonna gallop all our way through the mountains.
I don't know. It's like, I can't. Oh, man. If I could say that, the horse is my spirit animal. Anyway, we are going to dive back into our deep dive on operating systems.
So, but before we do that, we got to get a tech piece of the week.
That's true. Hey, this is the first week I forgot about that. Yes, our tech piece of the week this week. Do you want to go first, or would you like me to go first?
You go first, because I haven't thought about it yet.
Okie dokie. Well, when I was in Utah, I took, surprisingly, a lot of pictures, and I wanted my pictures to be stable. I don't know if I've mentioned this before. I know I have mentioned this before, but not as like its own segment. But my tech piece is actually the DJI gimbal, and my unit is the Gimbal 4. And the gimbal is a phone stabilizer. So you mount your phone in it, and it electronically keeps your phone completely stable. You can dance around, do jumping jacks, and if you're taking a video, it will never be shaky. It was just nice to know that my photos weren't coming out shaky. Plus, it does also have a button on the device that allows you to use it as like a camera remote. So you can just click that and it'll take your photo on your phone. But it's a really nifty little device. And yeah, they have the Gimbal 5 out, which just has improved battery life. But yeah, if you like to take a lot of videos or pictures, or even if you want to get like a really expensive document stand, it does good as a document reader stand as well. So, you know, if you're trying to use your phone to read a piece of text, it'll keep your camera stable. But
So basically, does it also track you? Like, does it have a motor to move the camera? Like, you can put it down, and then it follows you.
It does have a motor to move the camera, and actually, yes, if you install the DJI MIMO app, it will integrate with the gimbal, and it does have a selfie tracking feature where it uses the front camera to follow you. It's totally cool and kind of creepy, but really fun to watch. But yeah,
so but yeah, okay, what was it? I think that's see, I got into that technology in 2020 when I went viral on TikTok.
Yeah, and it's good for TikToks. So, yeah. But what's your tech really, piece of the week, though?
Yeah, so I think I'm still working on that one. I got so caught up in your gimbal thing that I forgot my thing. You know what? Let's go with the GoPro.
The GoPro is a great one.
Yeah, because honestly, it's one of the more once you get everything connected, right? So you have the GoPro, and then you download the app. You really need to download the app because that's what makes it accessible. The phone itself isn't, and then you need to turn on speech. What is that? Speech recognition or speech
voiceover
activation?
Well, yeah, screen recognition. Something like that. Oh, you need to use it with screen recognition.
No. You talk to the GoPro.
What? And you can talk. Okay, that's cool.
Yeah. So it's a GoPro record or GoPro stop recording. GoPro. Pause, GoPro play, GoPro, you can talk to it and it'll do different things like that. So that's where, for me, GoPro is really, really good if you're by yourself. And the other thing is you can set it up for widescreen, landscape, all sorts of stuff. And the other thing is you can live stream directly from the GoPro into your system. So that for me is really, really big. And I'm starting to kind of start prepping for this crazy idea that I have.
Right.
What kind of technology I need if I wanted to become the deafblind homesteader? But that's a different conversation of the day.
That's actually a whole conversation for a whole nother episode. But yeah, the GoPro, especially if you're a live streamer, I'd wondered if their app was accessible. But if you want a teeny tiny action camera that has good, decent quality audio and a nice app, and a good, just a nice user experience, and just also a very broad platform of users, the GoPro is the way to go, pun intended.
Yep.
And, but yes. Anyway, let's dive now into mobile operating systems. Now, yes, I know we've talked about iOS versus Android before. Like I said, we're just going to talk about this in even greater detail now. But let's talk about iOS first, from a blindness perspective. And to be honest, if somebody were asking me, you know, hey, what kind of phone should, you know, if somebody who has never owned a smartphone before, and this has happened, or, you know, if they're just getting into, you know, using a smartphone from a blindness perspective, I would always just recommend, the iPhone and the Apple ecosystem, because out of the box, it has everything. I mean, you have voiceover, Zoom, bold, you know, magnification, you know, everything. And we did a whole episode on pretty much all of the accessibility features found in iOS. So I won't go down that.
Can I tell a little story here? Because I think something that's really, really important.
Okay.
That I had to go through in regards to the iPhone.
Go right ahead.
So in 2014 is when I graduated college and then got my first job as an employment coordinator, helping blind people get jobs. My vision started deteriorating literally right when I graduated from college. And so I went from legal blindness to my blurry and my vision getting blurrier and blurrier and blurrier. And I was on an Android at this point. See, the thing is, as my vision got blurrier and blurrier, I realized I needed something to talk to me. And so I hadn't really embraced the talk back yet. And talk back wasn't that great at that point.
No.
So then I went, so I bought myself an iPhone, and it was an iPhone 6 Plus, I think it was, or whatever it was called back then. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting. Like, all right, so I started learning, but I didn't get into voiceover, but my vision was getting worse. So, but it magnified really, really well from the settings standpoint, so that I was able to get away with it. Mm-hmm. Shortly, when 2020 came, and I lost all the clarity in my vision to the point where I couldn't see tech anymore, even at large fonts. I was very, very thankful I had an iPhone, but I haven't really, I knew enough to be dangerous with VoiceOver, but I didn't really, haven't learned it. So I took 2 weeks of my life and just stopped everything and taught myself VoiceOver. Wow. And mastered it. And so, and then now I can use VoiceOver like it's nobody's business. And so what's interesting to me, and I don't recommend doing what I do because I am not normal. Let's just be straight. I am not normal. I've never taken an assistive technology training course. I've never taken any of that personally. I teach it all the time, but you haven't personally taken it. I have always self-taught myself JAWS, NVDA,
right,
Mac, but all of that.
Did you find VoiceOver from a perspective of somebody who hasn't used it before? Did you find VoiceOver easy to embrace eventually?
No. And that was the part that was coming from Windows to VoiceOver. I was still stuck in that brain mind. But because I was doing gestures and I hadn't really embraced gestures on the computer, it made it so, and it was an easier transition. So I had to learn all the gestures, and that worked for me. And I was able to really get that dialed in. And that's why I think I've had so much success in being on the phone and not having too much confusion between the phone and the computer.
Aha. That makes sense. Now, you'd brought up a couple of really good points here. The iPhone, by default, the accessibility tools that it comes with are quite good. VoiceOver is a very solid screen reader. It integrates well with other programs or other apps. Oh my gosh. And it's very feature rich. I mean, you've got everything from a whole buttload of different text to speech synthesizers and voices, everything that's on the Mac. You also have the ability to have it basically try and figure out what's on your screen and make that kind of accessible through screen recognition. I mean, you've got a lot going, and the iPhone just as a whole and the entire ecosystem, to be honest, it's one of those things that once you're in it, it's really, really difficult to leave and jump ship if you wanted to in the future. So that is something that prospective, Apple users should know, is that once you get an iPhone, if you get the Apple Watch, the iPad, all that stuff, you know, it's going to be, it's hard to get out. But you'd actually brought up a point when we talked earlier, actually, about hearing aids, because you're a hearing aid user and you use hearing aids with the iPhone, and they have that feature where you can, you know, hear your phone through your hearing aids, but there's a little problem with you because you have an Apple Watch.
Yeah. Too. So let's get into that a little bit. So first thing, hearing aid companies have embraced the iPhone system.
That's what they use.
Yeah. And so they've embraced that system. However, they do have the capability for Android, but it's very select Android devices that hearing aids work with. So if you are deafblind and you are going to need VoiceOver or TalkBack or something like that, we're kind of limited in our capability, whether it's Android or iPhone. And personally, if you had to make a decision today of an ecosystem to be in that's going to stay consistent and support your hearing aids as long as you can use them, and this is the one thing you got to remember, Bluetooth technology ages, and over time it goes out of date. However, with hearing aid Bluetooth, they're normally putting in the most current Bluetooth that will at least be supported for 6 years. So that means that you can get your normal full length of your hearing aid for 6 years, which is what on average what you get out of your hearing aids. And then be able to upgrade to the next device. So that's where I say, think about that. You've got hearing aids. The other part to this, though, is if you have hearing aids, you're only connecting to one device. So there's only your iPhone or your Android. There is no watch. So for me, I do not use VoiceOver on my watch. Granted, I don't even use my Apple Watch very much for anything else but to look at what time it is, because I still have enough vision to see the giant numbers.
Oh, okay.
And so for me, it's one of those, I kind of blew $500 for nothing. Like I could, so it, cause I don't, I just, because I really thought I could connect it with my hearing aid, and because I can't, then it's just a very expensive watch to be wearing all the time.
That's a bummer. And that is a good point, because if you're an Apple user, and you have, you know, your iPhone, your Apple Watch, your iPad, and you have like, and you have AirPods, the AirPods can just usually seamlessly switch between your phone and your iPad. But yeah, if you're a hearing aid user and you want to use a different device other than your phone, you're almost sort of out of luck in that regard if you want to be able to hear it through your hearing aid. So that's a really good point. But you also did bring up another good point about the Apple ecosystem. We talked about industry standards last episode, and it is kind of the industry standard when it comes to mobile devices in the blind community. Like, at least from the training centers I've been to, and just the organizations, you know, if somebody just lost their sight and needs to learn a screen reader, odds are they're probably going to learn the iPhone. The other thing to consider right now, and this might change in the future, but the vast majority of accessible apps and games, whether it be, you know, cool new navigation tools or image recognition tools, are most likely going to show up first on iOS, and then they might eventually be forked over to Android. For instance, we have the Microsoft Seeing AI app, which came out in like 2016. And then, of course, there's apps like Microsoft Soundscape, which is a navigation app. That's not yet available on Android, but there are other good navigation apps out there on Android. But there's a lot more availability when it comes to iOS. Now, the downside, though, is that there are some bugs that Apple just doesn't always seem to fix, or they kind of take their time fixing it. And that could be anything. One of the big ones that actually came to mind, and they did fix this, was that when you would be scrolling through your notification center, it didn't always like actually scroll up the page. So you'd have to automatically, you know, if you got to the bottom of the list and you had more notifications, you'd have to 3-finger swipe up to scroll.
And then you hope you didn't swipe too fast. Went too far.
Right. And iOS 18 betas right now, we're in like the beta 3 phase or 2 or 3 phase right now. It's not looking great. There's a lot of unlabeled buttons in the control center and a whole bunch of stuff, but hopefully all those will be fixed. But, you know, it's not perfect, but if I were to recommend an operating system or a phone to somebody, this is what I'd go with.
Just to kind of clarify a few things, there are some definitely serious issues, especially one that I had the other day was I got an alert and I could not push okay or deny or accept. And I had to have somebody else go and push to read it to me. And so there are still issues in certain areas on the accessibility side. And so and this is the sad part about anything in regards to screen readers at all. There are always going to be something that you can't get access to. And you just need to be prepared on what you're going to do to solve that problem. And so, yeah. So, and this is really true in the Android ecosystem. And when I was going viral on TikTok, I went from iPhone to Android.
Oh, wow.
Because I could have somebody remote into the Android device and control it from their computer. And this way, so all I needed to know was where the app was for TeamViewer, and then Ira can come into my phone, and then they can either go into TikTok and make it go live or help me post a video on the Android. And that was amazing. It changed everything I could possibly do.
Yeah, it turned you into a TikToker.
Yeah. And it allowed me not to have to touch the screen. And it allowed me to have that freedom. And so, I mean, for the Android, there's a lot of things going for it
in a lot of different ways. Better and better, and it's going to continue to get better and better. When Android first came out back in like 2008, totally not accessible, but to be fair, neither was the iPhone yet until 2009 with the iPhone 3GS. But Android has really, really come a long way. I'll just to share my own little personal tidbits here. I was a like diehard Android dude in the 2010s, like 2016 through 2019, just about full on Android. Had a Samsung Galaxy, and I'll get into that here in a minute. And, you know, had the watch and all that and loved it and was able to get by, but it was more, the experience at the time was a little bit more clunky than iOS. But with Android, there are things to consider. If you're already an Android user and you're, you know, and you love your Android and you want to use, you know, TalkBack or whatever, give it a try. Like, don't jump ship to Apple just because, you know, you need low vision or screen reader support. Try it out, because TalkBack does come on Android devices now. It used to not, and that's why I used to have a hard time recommending it, because depending on the device you used to buy, you might not necessarily get TalkBack, and you'd have to manually have somebody install it for you from the Google Play Store, but it's built in now, and it's super easy to get started with. In fact, what I like about TalkBack that I wish VoiceOver had that might make the learning curve of actually learning to use it easier is that it has this whole interactive tutorial that it'll bring you through first. And feature set wise, it's pretty feature rich. You do have some OCR functionality. I don't know if they've integrated it yet, but you do. They are working on like a screen recognition piece, and you know, you've got pretty much all of the same or very similar abilities to what VoiceOver does or what VoiceOver has. Now, as far as like speech options, if you know, for your voice, those options have kind of dwindled. There used to be a lot more. You used to have voices from, you know, Vocalizer. So that would be like Samantha, Tom, like the voices you have on the iPhone. You had Eloquence for a while. You had Acapella TTS, which I think is still out there. And, you had a whole bunch going for years there. And that was actually something that Android had over iOS was text-to-speech voices. But nowadays, there are some options, but most often the easiest thing is just using Google text-to-speech. Google text-to-speech has some voices built in, and, you know, you can adjust it to a nice, fast speech rate. It's easy to understand. Kind of going away from TalkBack, the availability of apps and games and stuff on Android compared to iOS is a little bit different. I know when we talked before recording, you're not as much of a gamer, mobile gamer or whatever, but did you get to play any like games or whatever on Android or use?
No, not really. My main thing on my Android phone that I have here, I mainly did everything on like posting content, videos, editing, all of that stuff. And it's okay. TalkBack helped a little bit. There is a conflict though. If you're going to do TeamViewer or any screen sharing on the Android, is that you got to turn TalkBack off. And that way the person using TeamViewer can come in. So there is a little bit of a glitch there. And
that makes sense though.
What's interesting is with the TalkBack, and as much as I've used it, is it works really well for the camera. I like the camera version of TalkBack.
Oh yeah, the camera support in TalkBack is really cool, especially if you have a Pixel, a Google Pixel. Yeah. Yes,
and Google Pixels. Let's just be straight. If you're gonna get an Android, Google Pixel is the way to go.
Yep.
For
consistency
for talk back,
ease of use.
I feel like the Samsung and some of those others, they're good, but they're not really working hard on accessibility. So they're not really paying attention to what TalkBack is trying to do. And Google is doing all the work on their end to make it work. And I feel like with Google Pixel, they've took in consideration a lot of things for accessibility, and also took in a lot of consideration for how the TalkBack works and Google, and all their Google apps that they have.
Well, and how they integrate with each other and talk to each other effectively.
Exactly. So, I mean, for me, it's one of those. If I go get myself another Android, I'm going Google Pixel, because it's just easier and it's not that big of a learning curve coming from the iPhone to the Android
anymore.
And the other thing is, being in the Google ecosystem allows you to go back and forth between Android to iPhones. So that is something to think about. If you are in the Android ecosystem, there is ways to get around the whole ecosystem of the iPhone. And so it is possible. And I've done it, and it works fairly well.
And as weird as it sounds to say this, switching from Android to iOS is annoyingly much easier, in my opinion, than switching from iOS to Android. But there's a point you brought up here, and that is hardware. Now, like Windows, with iOS, you've just got, the Apple ecosystem, the iPhone, the iPad, the Apple Watch. With Android, you've got hundreds of different devices. Like the most, common ones, you've got the Google Pixel, which we talked about, the Samsung Galaxy, Motorola's, and Motorola's might be a popular option, as they actually make some very, very budget friendly phones. You can pick up a brand new Motorola for like $100, like a Motorola G Play or something like that, and get the Android experience. But annoyingly, like Windows, all of these brands come with their own different set of software and bloatware, and also just have a slightly different experience because of just how they were manufactured. And it's kind of something that you got to take into account. So with Samsung, if anybody is considering getting a Samsung, they are good phones, but I also have a hard time recommending it because you're stuck with their version of TalkBack, which is Galaxy TalkBack, which really is just an older version of Google TalkBack that has been kind of groomed and meant to be used with, it works better with Samsung's tools and software. But that does mean that you can't just, if there's a TalkBack update available in the Play Store, you really can't take advantage of that anymore. And you pretty much have to like uninstall and reinstall TalkBack. And it's a whole pain now. That used to not be the case, but that's kind of as of the Galaxy S20 and newer, pretty much as of later versions of Android, that's become the case. So if you want to give Android a go, I'm going to totally 100% echo exactly what Kelvin's saying. Get a Pixel. You'll love it.
Yep. I mean, the only concern that I have with Pixels or anything Google products is, when will they get rid of it?
I knew you were going to say that, because Google, I mean, it can't be denied. Google does just kill off products sometimes,
I mean, so I listened to the This Week in Google on Twit, and it's one of they have a section in their podcast that is basically what did Google destroying now?
Yeah.
And it's like,
what did Google kill off now? So it's a thing now, you should consider that with the Pixel, but I wouldn't worry too much about that. Keep in mind too that the Google Pixel phones, Google and Samsung phones now, And Kelvin, I'm not sure if you've heard of this or not, but they now get 7 years of software updates. And that's kind of big.
I think I heard about that. But the chances of your battery lasting that long?
No, not a chance if you use your phone.
I mean, you'd be thankful you can get 4 years out of it. So, yeah.
It's kind of one of those things that they did, like, we have this over Apple, because Apple usually does 4 to 5 years of software update.
Yeah.
Most people hold on to a phone for like 3-4 years and then upgrade it anyway. So it's like,
I'm normally a 3 year guy. I'm on my almost my third year on my 13 mini.
Yeah,
I like my 13 mini. It's nice and small, and it works. And the plus is one of those. It's just so big.
It's chunky. Like,
and I like to be a one hand phone user. So
and yeah, I gotta
upgrade. I like the speed of the. Granted, I don't have the new chip in mind.
Right, but they are still pretty responsive. But you know,
mm-hmm.
I'm also a 3 year guy too. But the Pixels really are the way to go with Android. I do want to actually touch on something just that we had kind of briefly talked about before, specific to the Google Pixel. That's really cool, and it is their camera app. It actually has this interesting little mode that you can put it in where it will play sounds and I think does haptics and speech feedback if you want to help mm-hmm. you line your face up and take a selfie. So that's kind of a cool feature that it has.
Yep. And the other thing to think about it, if you are going to do any TikTok or anything like that and you need to send over videos or anything from the Android to a iPhone or anything, it will become blurry. But the way around it is this: you upload it to Google Drive or Dropbox or something like that,
mm-hmm.
and then bring it in to an iPhone, and then it bypasses all the shenanigans that when you text it over to all yourself or AirDrop it.
Deal with. But mm-hmm. if you want to be a content creator on iOS or Android, you'll have a good experience really with both. If I were to say, you know, pick one over the other, if you want to be a TikToker or a YouTuber, kind of just whatever floats your boat. And that really, over these past like three episodes, you know, talking about seeing AI updates and and really this entire OS deep dive, the point that we want to make here as host and co-host is that really what the best operating system nowadays, I mean, it used to be, you know, there's a lot more competition, but those days are really behind us. But the best operating system for, you know, computers, for phones, for watches is really ultimately up to what works for you. That's really the point that we want to make. And if you don't know what works best for you yet, there is seriously nothing wrong with just giving things a try. If you want to try Android, get a used Pixel. They're cheap. And get a Pixel A series even, because they're, you know, even more affordable, but they don't really cut corners when it comes to the build quality of those of the A series Pixels. And it, you know, you might really like it. And otherwise you might be like, oh man, iOS was better, I'm switching back. But you know, you're not like, unless you really invest a lot of time and money into these systems, it's not gonna bite you to try it out and really just, you know, find the best solution for you. Now, one thing we definitely, most likely, probably won't echo this week though is of course the sandwich of the week. Now, my sandwich of the week is going to be, of course, because I'm craving it, air fryer grilled cheese with butter.
All right.
It's so simple. Cheese, butter, and an air fryer, and you get a grilled cheese out of it. But what's your sandwich?
So my sandwich of the week, one that kind of brings really good memory is when I hiked 200 miles in Israel. This is before I became a hippopotamus. Even though my nickname was Hippo.
That's where that when came I was, from.
Yes. My nickname has been Hippo since I was 18 years old.
Okay, that's funny.
But I didn't turn into a hippo until later in life. But
sounds like a rabbit hole.
But the one thing that I ate on these hikes was pita tuna sandwiches in Israel, and their pita bread is amazing. And you put all your stuff inside there. I think I had a tuna pita sandwich with like this really unique cheese, and it was delicious. Mm. And so you're gonna have to go to Israel for that one.
Sounds good, though. Yeah, we're gonna have to have a follow-up to the Calvinator one day, though, because that was a good one, actually. That one actually stuck with me. There'll be an Evanator one day if I can find a good combination of ingredients that work well as a sandwich. And who knows, maybe that combination is already a sandwich that exists, but I do digress, of course. And of course, as we wrap up this episode, I'd always like to remind everybody, you know, if you've got feedback, questions, comments, or anything else for our hosts of any of our originals, feedback@aftersight.org or 720-712-8856. And do not forget to register for the hike if you haven't, if it hasn't passed you already as you're listening to this episode. And join Team Blind Level Tech. Come join your horse and hippo on an awesome hike up in Myers Gulch. With that
hip,
being
said, hippopotamus, hip hip on the way up the mountain.
Yep, that's. You're gonna have to. We'll have to find some way to lump that in during the actual hike itself. I don't know, but. Anyway, thank you guys so much for joining us yet again for another episode of Blind Level Tech. Just a side note, too, if you haven't checked these out, check out our BLT Bytes. We're actually going to kind of they're really like a short form tech tips podcast meant for all ages, but really particularly like older adults. But we're going to kind of start to do some more out of the blue ones. Like we might actually dive into some audio games and some other stuff. So check those out. They're about 3 to 6 minutes in length. But either way, thank you again for joining us. I am your host, Evan Storns.
Storns. Hey, everybody. We got a new host, everybody. Evan Storns.
I'm your host, Evan Storns. And I'm joined by Calvin Crosby.
Go live beyond your challenges and plug in your device.
And we'll see you all next week.